Our first scripture reading is from Acts 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And the second reading is from 1 Corinthians. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given to the one Spirit to drink.
Today is our final week as we've been discussing the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, in Jesus, in us as individuals, in the church, in mission. And today I'm going to be focusing on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So here's my main point right out of the gate today. What God puts in your hands, the gifts that He gives you, is meant for someone else's life. It's put in your hand to give away. So this is quite countercultural because we believe in Western culture that gifts are given so that we, the receiver, can spend it on ourselves. Right? When it's Christmas or Easter or birthdays, many families even write lists of things that they want to be given. So it's incredible, but it's a sure sign of our wealth and privilege, which we have talked about in the last few weeks. And when we receive a gift, we don't automatically get it and open up and think, "Who can I share this with?" Right? We think about ourselves. But what if our perception of gifts changed today? What if we really believed that what God puts in your hands is actually meant for somebody else's life? The gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives to you aren't actually for you. They're for somebody else. After all, we heard 1 Corinthians 12:12, right? Just as a body, the one has many different parts, but all the different parts form one body. And so it is with Christ. See, a body constantly has to give, right? The hand has to give to the mouth. The feet has to give to the rest of the body. So we get to where we want to go. It's many different parts, and we're all working in unison for the benefit of the whole body. Each part giving to each other for the benefit of unity. But for us, in our wealth and privilege life in Canada, giving is hard. And so I think one of the most challenging passages was what we heard today. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. This was a response to somebody asking for money. And Peter and John, right, rather than shrugging them off as a beggar for whatever reason, they are willing to give what they had. So what did they give the beggar? They gave respect, acknowledgement, dignity, and then healing and salvation in Jesus' name. And we see beggars in Canada, and we all have different philosophies as to why or why not we respond to them or choose to not even make eye contact with them. So why do we all respond differently? What inspires those people who give? It's not money, because the rich are not more generous than the middle class, and the middle class are not more generous than those living in poverty. When we went to Kenya, one of the most astounding statements we heard was at the orphanage, when the mom of the orphanage said to all the kids, "You are never too poor to give." And they gave gifts to us as we left. So, what inspires those to give? It's not free time. Because any boss knows if you need something done, you ask the busiest person. So, millions of dollars have been spent on what motivates people to give. And so, my research nailed it down to three things. The first is that people give to people, not projects, right? Human connection is what inspires generosity. The second is people give when they believe that their gift will make a difference. And third, identity. People will give when they see themselves in their identity as a generous person due to their values. So this third one is the one that I want to focus on for us today. Our perceived identity is a big factor to giving in all areas, financially, time, even kindness. So is our identity a generous person? Who are we in regards to giving? Are we an owner or are we a manager? If you are an owner of your own money, you're the boss. Then you get to choose what happens to your hard-earned money. You get to tell others how to spend your money, and you choose to be extravagant on one thing or to be budget-conscious on another thing. You're the boss. But if your identity is a manager, then you need to abide by the rules of the owner. Right? For instance, if you're a manager in a company and the company says to you, you can't take the 407 toll road unless it saves you half an hour or more, then you don't get to choose. You just need to do what the owner says. So, in regards to your money, are you an owner or a manager? If we are to be generous people, we need that third reason. We need that identity piece to be a manager. We need it to be a steward. Because the money that we have is an ours. And the Bible tells us this in Psalm 24:11. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. 1 Chronicles 29, everything comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand. So the earth and everything in it is the Lord's. What we have, therefore, is not ours. We are not the owners. We are simply the managers. And managers are to use their resources, the things that they've been put in charge over, in the way that the owner would like it to be used. So that's Peter. That's the story we heard today in Acts 3 when he says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, walk." So the same thing applies to us, who we are. We are managers of God's estate. And so what is in our hands? Maybe it is silver and gold, a lot of money. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's encouragement. And what is in your hand, you are passing on because it's been entrusted to you. And when we do this, then at the end of our life, when we get to see the boss again, it will be as in Matthew 25. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So this might make us wonder, why doesn't God just put in the hands what's meant for somebody else and put in my hands what's meant for me? That would be far more simple, less complicated, less sibling rivalry. Why doesn't God just do that instead? Well, research shows us that giving helps our mental health. And friends, we are in a mental health crisis in our world. But giving lights up the brain rewards circuits, the same pathways that are tied to joy and satisfaction. And regular volunteer behavior is linked to lower stress, higher gratitude, and a stronger sense of purpose. A 2026 meta-analysis in the Journal of Affective Disorders, analyzing over 200,000 patients, found that serving and giving was significantly correlated with better mental well-being, as well as lower stress and anxiety. So all of this research lines up with exactly what the Bible has been telling us. Acts 20:35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Proverbs 11. One gives freely, yet gains even more. Whoever refreshes others is himself refreshed. Luke 6, give and it will be given to you, pressed down together. James 1, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So, generosity is not about giving something away, but joining in how we were built to thrive. Giving is a reflection of God because he is a Trinity. The Father giving glory to the Son honoring the Father, and the Spirit encouraging us all to acknowledge our Savior Jesus. The gifts given to us by the Father are for us to bless our siblings so that we can reflect the nature of God by being in community and by serving each other. And when we act in this way, our core processing system is designed to thrive. Giving and serving each other, we receive positive mental and physical well-being. So, let's assess, what have we been given? What is in my hands to give? Maybe there are things that you have never thought of as gifts. Maybe you just don't realize how rich you are. For instance, one day back in 2006, I was giving a sleigh ride. We'd just moved to our farm. And someone on this sleigh ride went by the barn and they said to me, "Can we see in the barn?" And I said, "Nah, there's just smelly animals in there." And they said, "No, can we go see them?" And I reluctantly showed them just to prove that they really didn't want to be in there because there was just smelly animals in the barn. And they loved it. And then at that moment, I realized what I had to give. You see, I grew up with animals my whole life, and I didn't see petting a sheep as any kind of gift. It was definitely a chore. Wealth and privilege. And since then, I do not know how many people have toured through my barns and how I've gifted people with the connection to God's animals to feel the difference with their hands between wool and hair, to feel a cow's tongue or touch a pig's nose, and in it all to draw a little closer to the creator of them all. But it took me realizing that I was given a gift to share. It took the identity of a manager and not an owner to do what the Lord wanted and not what I wanted. So, what do you have? What gifts has God given you? When you came in today, some very sweet kids should have given you a piece of paper like this and a pen. If you don't have one, wave your arm around and someone will get one from the back. Wow, good job, girls. Everyone's got one. So we're going to go through these one at a time to help us realize what God has put in our life as gifts. And as I explain each one, I'd like you to write in that little quadrant what comes to mind. And if you fill it up, the back's blank, so you can just write on the back. This is a brainstorming exercise. So just write, don't analyze. If you're a perfectionist, you can pick up another one on the way out and make it all neat and tidy. So there's four quadrants. Let's start with the heart. This is who I am. I want to say this is your unofficial role when you're in a group. This is your heart. Who are you? Are you a peace in the storm kind of person? Are you the life of the party? Are you the planner? Are you joy? Are you the optimist? Are you the one who always remembers things about others that make them feel special? Are you encouragement? Something else that I haven't said. Just be writing down. When you're in a group, what's your unofficial role? Who are you? What's your heart? Is it compassion, patience, hospitality, listening, peacemaker? Are you the heart for justice? Are you loyal? Are you the connector between people? Don't analyze, just write down your ideas. And the second thing, hands. What you can do. This is your abilities. What abilities has God gifted you with? Do you have the ability to go for a walk with somebody? Do you have the ability of time? Do you have the ability to be an entrepreneur or for administration? Painting, a mechanic. The most amazing ability is Carl going to Plattsville Public School to play chess with the kids. Do you have the ability to play chess? Do you have the ability to read grade 3 level with small children? Do you have the ability for cooking, baking, landscaping, cleaning, teaching? Do you have the ability of time for travel and missions? Do you have the ability to drive other people to appointments? What you can do, right? Just all your ideas down there. The next one we've called home. What I have. These are your resources. What do you have? I have a farm. I had some smelly animals in a barn. Do you have a car or a pickup truck? Do you have camping gear? Do you have money? Do you have tools? Workshop? Do you have produce extra from your garden? Do you have business contacts or influence or the ability to provide someone a meal? What do you have? It's in your home. And our last quadrant is the Holy Spirit. What God does through me. Maybe spiritual gift of encouragement. Intercession. Music. Faith. Speaking in tongues. Teaching. Serving. Leading. Gift of wisdom. Healing. Discernment. Evangelism. Hospitality. Discipleship. Mentoring. Just pause and listen to God. So when we have a list completed, or maybe you just have your list started, and you take this home and continue this conversation with God, these are the things that God has put in your hands that are meant for somebody else's life. But who? Whose life? Who does God want me to give these things away to? I'm going to say, first of all, the body. God's family first. Because as believers, we are to be known by non-believers by our love. And so our love for each other as we give to each other has indeed brought other people to experience God, to say, wow, When I went through radiation and I had 6 weeks in meals and some guy at Frank's work said, if that happened to my wife, I don't know what we would do. We would have nobody. We are able to shine God's light because we give to each other. And secondly, you're to give to your neighbors. And your neighbor is the person that God puts in front of you each day. Each day, stop for that one. It might be a different person every day, but that one, and it might not be convenient, that God puts in front of you and says to give. So we have established what we give. You've got your four quadrants here. And we've established the reason. And this is reason number three, right? This is our identity. We were made in the image of God, the God who gave his one and only son so that we could be reconciled to him. And we give because he gave and we're his kids. But I also want to give you a real example of reasons number one and two. You give to people and not projects. And maybe when you come in and you're a financial giver and you give to general budget, it seems like a project. Or when you serve in Sunday school, it can seem like a project because you're just planting seeds and you're not harvesting any. But I want to give you an example of this being people, not projects. And the second is your gift makes a difference. And so sometimes when you serve at kids' time, there's so many kids, and maybe you don't even know one kid's name. And it feels like you're not making a difference, and you barely even have control. I want to show you how this makes a huge difference. Because this week, Grace Kennedy came to visit me at my house to say goodbye before she headed back up to uni, as the summer's over. And so we chatted a lot, and we chatted about the concept of giving. And we talked about all the things that Grace has received from Plattsville Church in her life since she was a small girl. And when I asked Grace, I'm going to show you a video, but I asked her beforehand off camera what she thought her life might look like if she had never received anything from anyone at Plattsville Church. And she was literally speechless and said, thank you so much for not asking me this on camera first. Because she couldn't imagine. And as she and I both thought about it, we were brought to tears at the trajectory that her life would have been on. You see, Grace is a first-generation believer. Right? And because of all the different gifts and all the different areas that have been given to Grace, she knows the Lord. So I'd like to play the little video with Grace, just her sharing this.
Hi, Plattsville Church. I am Grace, if you don't know me.
So Grace, can you tell me the first time you connected with Plattsville Church? Where would it have been? And tell me the people who you would have remembered.
So I first got connected with Plattsville Church through Dave Hamill connecting with my sister. And I remember going into Sunday school because I was just a wee little kid. And Kathy and Norm were leading our Sunday school class. And I just remember in that room feeling so loved and so cared about.
So from your sister bringing you to Sunday school, then what would your next connection have been? Did you come to day camp?
I did. So I was staying home one summer every day. My parents were at work and my sister would have been working too, I believe. And there was this time where I was having a lot of troubles with nightmares. And so my mom reached out to Jen at and just asked if there was room at day camp for me to come. And I was probably 11 or 12 at the time. And I started going to day camp every day. It helped my nightmares because I was alone all the time.
So from day camp then, I think I remember you going to kids' time.
I did. I attended kids' time.
Who would have been the people that you remember from kids' time?
Is it Mr. Carmichael?
Mm-hmm.
Chris and Chris.
Chris,
yeah.
Carmichael.
Chris Carmichael. I loved every year he did this big thing where he brought these wooden blocks and we designed, we got to draw these little race cars, and he would take the time to cut every kid's just how they drew it. And then he would fit them with wheels. We'd paint them. He probably spent a lot of time doing that, but it was such a highlight every year to be able to go.
And then from kids' time, did you attend junior youth?
I did attend junior youth, and you were there, and Bethany Anderson. And we spent time getting to know God's word and getting to know God and who he is, but we also spent time playing games, which was just so fun. I got to come every week, connect with people, and just be in the church building. And I just gained a lot of confidence being in the building, going to church on weekends. You and Beth, I mean, both of you, just speak about God with such love.
And then you stayed on through senior youth. We got to know each other really well for that. Any other people that you remember stood out during that time?
I remember Julie Dopko coming in when I was in high school, and just loving us. Like, she just loved to be there, and she just was so joyful and present. Like, when she was there, she was there, and she is such an excellent listener.
And then you came back to day camp as a leader.
I did. I was a counselor for a number of years.
And then your day camp is kind of where you started. Mm-hmm. And then you had a big, exciting culmination of at day camp. What happened then?
I was so lucky. I got to be baptized at day camp in front of 90 campers, in front of all my friends, the staff. My mom got to come that day. Carl came that day. And it was just such an excellent, just such a fun day.
So Plattsville Church and day camp specifically has been really big for you, right? It's been a big part of your faith and who you are. Mm-hmm. And yet this year we offered you a job to day camp and you turned us down. Tell me about that. Why did you turn us down?
Day camp is such a big part of my life and my journey. And I was ready to spread that somewhere else. I felt called that Jesus wanted me to be able to share him with others, not only with campers, but also with staff there.
And we've been talking today in the sermon about that what you have is to give. And Grace, you are the example that I think of that, because you didn't just take what Plattsville had given you to hide it. You then were like, I love day camp. It's who I am. But the gift was then to give, for you to go to a completely non-Christian camp and share that love. Yeah. And so now tell us in your life, where are you? What do you do?
I'm currently at Nipissing University studying Concord education and history. I coach figure skating there. I am really heavily involved with our Christian fellowship there. I'm really excited this year to be leading a morning Bible study group. And I'm really, really excited about that.
So your faith, you came to mm-hmm. knowledge and faith in God through Plattsville Church. Yeah. It's become your own. You've moved through transitions in life. You've moved away from Plattsville Church and kept your faith. Yeah. You've moved out to give it to others. And you're still giving away your faith, giving away the love, mm-hmm. giving away what God's put into your hands, your heart. Yes. Can you imagine your life if nobody ever gave?
I feel like it's almost so unimaginable, because people showing up was such a big part of Plattsville Church, as people came and they gave every week. And if I didn't have that, I don't think I would have learned how to give myself. And that's led me to want to be a teacher. My gifts are working with people, and I've learned that through Plattsville, and I really think it's like I would not be where I am. I would not be studying what I'm studying, or have felt confident to leave home with the prayer and support of others in a new city.
If it wasn't for all those little gifts.
All the little gifts.
That's
all
amazing.
Beautiful people.
Thanks, Chris.
So I hope this video has showed you that what you do when you give, it affects a person's life to the nth degree, right? It is people, not projects. And Grace is one of those people. And I hope this video shows you that when you give, it makes a massive difference. She cannot imagine life without the influence that Plattsville Church has made in her life, because she can't imagine life without Jesus. And I really hope that this video shows you that giving reflects God, in whose image we were created. It's our identity as followers of Jesus. And Grace is just one story. There are stories every year of people through kids ministry and youth ministry, here through your volunteer hours, through your dollars donated, that people come to know God. People come to receive love, receive peace, and their lives are changed. And each story, when you give a little or a lot, gets to be your well done, good and faithful servant, the day that you stand before the Lord. So today, I pray that this story and all the stories that you know and all the people, I could even point out people in the crowd here, of the difference that it's made. That may we all be just humbled today, realizing that we are not owners here on this earth. May we be responsible managers, using our heart, our hands, right, our home, our Holy Spirit-inspired gifts to bless each other in our community and do the Lord's work. So may we have the attitude, like the Kenyans do, that we are never too poor to give in any of these areas. So let's stand together and sing our final song. So as you share this week, may your heart be refreshed. And as you share what you do with your hands this week, may you be fulfilled. And as you share what you have in your home this week, may you see the joy that comes in sharing. And as you share what the Holy Spirit empowers you, may you feel the power of the Holy Spirit flood through your veins as He gives you the ability to do and say and move in the way that He inspires you. You are blessed to be a blessing, and as you refresh others, you will be refreshed.